welcome to the JS Online and Packers News Packers Podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Tom Silverstein. I'm here with Jim Osarski. We're both of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, and we have a wonderful view of Soldier Field after the Packers game, 24-17 loss that officially puts them out of the playoffs. Well, kind of knew it was coming at some point, right?
Yeah, I mean, you know, one possession game, they made it interesting enough. But frankly, as has been the story all year, Tom, I mean, not enough winning plays. Usual breakdowns, all three phases. I mean, there's a reason they're on their way to a second straight losing record.
Yeah.
And losing season, excuse me.
I kind of felt they lost the game when during the inactives, when Kenny Clark was deemed unable to play. It's just, you have to get some kind of turnovers on Mitch Trubisky if you're going to win and beat the Bears. And if you don't have any pressure on them, you know, if you can't get some natural pressure on them, if you have to blitz them all the time, then they're going to hurt you. And you've got to get points from your defense, and they couldn't do it.
Yeah, you know, I thought the Dean Lowry and Tyler Lancaster and briefly Montrevious Adams performed well enough in terms of the run D. Tom, I mean, but you're right. There was no pressure on Mitch Trubisky from the front three or four.
Mm-hmm.
So it had to come from elsewhere. And he frankly was just good enough to evade those pressures. And yeah, he fumbled once, it, you know, on a sack. They recovered. Tariq Cohen fumbled once that the Packers did recover. And there was their opportunity. That was the one turnover. And you know, and a chance to maybe take the lead. And,
yeah.
You know, instead they go three and out. Aaron Rodgers misses on two throws, which was a theme all day. And that was it. I mean, the better team won. And those are the things this team has been able to do. They're only going to get the one turnover. So they need to score off of that.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and yeah.
You know, you get the, they scored off the fake punt after that,
yeah.
Stopping the fake punt, and they scored. But, you know, you stop them again, and you've got to put some points on the board. And this was such a microcosm of every game they've played, which is Aaron Rodgers has some chance to make a few big plays. Now, granted, he has a smaller window, smaller number of those big plays that are available to him. But when they're there, he doesn't make them. And it's, if I'm the next head coach, boy, am I looking at that really closely before I decide to take that job.
Yeah, he is a 35-year-old quarterback who's dealing, he said it was a groin, but, you know, the knee could be bothering him, some lower leg issues now for the quarterback. And you're right, it's just look, even before that there were missed throws, and again, we're not talking about the tight windows necessarily. We're talking about deep posts or open in the seam, or guys who are just, they're just open, and NFL open, like, it or even beyond that. And it just didn't. And look, this defense again on that side, Tom, to finish up that thought, I mean, I've said week to week, I feel that they play winning defense. Not dominant. It's not great. They don't turn it over. But I think this was another week. Like, after the fourth down, you know, special teams comes up, they score. One turnover. That's the margin of error.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Packers have to at least get three to maybe change, you know, because the Bears dictated today.
Yeah.
Or Sunday, excuse me.
Except for that few minutes when
right.
The Packers tied it.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden they have the ball, and then they just turn everything. The whole game rests on those two plays, which one was Randall Cobb on that deep over route, and Rodgers throws it, and it sails over his head.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a 30-yard gain, at least, and they're down into Bears territory, at the 20 maybe. The other is the very next play. He throws deep to MVS and overthrew it. And that's a touchdown if he hits it.
Yeah, and I think you tweeted correctly. You know, you go back to Matt Ryan missing Julio Jones on a similar throw. You know, those happen. But I think it's more, it's the Cobb play.
Yeah.
And there were a couple other ones, too, I thought earlier in the game. And again, as we've seen from him all year, just miss. And, you know, he's, the team isn't good enough to make up for that. Mm-hmm. And now here they are, losing season again. And, you know, I'm not going to coronate Chicago by any means. You know, they've got a ways to go. But, you know, they, being ahead or tied, you know, Khalil Mack was able to do his business against Jason Spriggs. They moved him around. I thought Spriggs was okay, but at periods of time, it was, how do you leave him one-on-one with Khalil Mack?
Yeah.
Those were the issue. Right. You know, like, it's some fundamental, like, football breakdowns, I thought, Sunday for Green Bay.
I'll have to go back and look, but I don't recall backs chipping on him. It's possible I just missed it, but...
Yeah, once Aaron Jones got hurt, you know, it was a Jamal Williams show. Danny Vitale had some rough goes in pass pro and run blocking. So you're right, though. I think they pretty much left Spriggs and Bakhtiari to their own devices against Mack. And for whatever reason, you know, maybe Vic Fangio felt by moving Mack around, it would prevent, you know, the Packers from doing certain things. But you're right. I thought... You know, he made an impact, of course, but it wasn't snap to snap. At least I didn't feel that way.
Yeah. I want to go back to Rodgers one more time. And, you know, if I'm Brian Gutekunst and I'm interviewing these guys, I'm not going to put Mark Murphy in there because I don't think he knows enough about football. If I'm Brian Gutekunst, I'm asking the guys who I'm bringing in, the candidates, what's wrong with Aaron Rodgers, in your opinion? That would be my meal ticket question, or I don't know what the right adjective is, but tell me what you think's wrong with Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, and that's got to be an honest conversation. Whether it be, you know, a coach who wants, maybe the retort is, how healthy is Aaron Rodgers? You know, and if the exchange of information there is, well, he's having a shoulder cleaned up or a knee cleaned up, and the, you know, and there were some physical things. Then okay, you move from that. So let's put that aside. We don't know about that, but you know, you'd wonder about mechanics. You wonder about confidence in certain players. You know, we've talked a lot about his trust in receivers, but he's also said he doesn't really trust to throw to a spot with any of these guys.
Yeah.
So where does that fit into the diagnosis of him going forward?
I'm getting sick of that trust
right
stuff. How about just throw it where the guy is?
Yeah.
You know, all this, you've got to be right at this thing. You know, you got to be right at this absolute blade of grass or else you're off. You know, I don't think that's how you play football. Timing, yes. You know, but I'm seeing throws that he's not making that have nothing to do with where the guy is. I mean, I don't think so. Most of them are happening on scramble play.
No, and that's especially true because I think that's one of those things where, you know, wide receivers coach David Rye says, yeah, we have a couple rules, but on a scramble play, it's a two-way street. I mean, I think on one hand, early in the year, you could say, okay, Jimmy Graham and the rookies don't know what he likes to do or maybe how to do that. But Sunday against Chicago, there were a couple scramble plays where Jimmy Graham presented himself and was open. And other receivers, Equanimeous St. Brown presented himself and were open.
Kumerow came back for that one.
Yeah, and throws just weren't made. So, but you're right, going back to your point, that's a great question. And you have to find out, you know, what that new head coach, and if it's a defensive-minded head coach, and he feels he can't, you know, break it down to that level, then he obviously would need to say, okay, well, I have this position coach or coordinator in mind, you know, that can get that answer.
Yeah, well, if it were, let's just use Vic Fangio, the Bears defensive coordinator, I would be interested to hear what he has to say, too, if I'm Gutekunst. I'd be like, tell me how you know, defended him and what you think are his weaknesses.
Exactly, yeah.
I would want to know that, too.
Right. Hey, you can't improve unless you know what you're either bad at or not as good at.
Yeah.
And this team clearly, you know, they're not, this isn't a total teardown. This isn't, you know, New York, the team they're going to see next week. They're not far away from being where they're supposed to be. So
no, you're right. Season, it's, they could be exactly.
So you know, if you can get the quarterback playing to whatever degree he needs to play, you know, at the age of 35, 36, it's, you know, but that is a great question for this offseason.
Yeah. You know, it is pretty apparent, too, and not just because they were facing the Bears, but they're going to need to address the offensive line, no matter who the quarterback is. You know, I don't think Brian Bulaga will be back next year. I mean, I think we can just make that assumption based on his salary and his injury history. I don't know if Spriggs can be that guy, but you better not count on it. I think you got to find, you got to get a tackle somewhere. And whether it's
those are hard to find.
Yeah, they are very hard to find. But, you know, I mean, if the Rams can pull Andrew Whitworth and, you know, the Vikings picked up Riley Reiff. I mean, you just got to find someone who can play that right side. Because you got a good left tackle, so just find someone who can play on the right.
Yeah, and that'll be, you know, when we do our off-season podcast on that one, Tom, with who should be gone, who isn't gone, or cap casualties, if you will. The Bulaga one's interesting to me because while he may make a certain dollar amount, you know, tackles are hard to find. And you know, Whitworth is sort of the one in a million, I guess, where, you know, the Bengals drafted two tackles first and second round to replace the 35-year-old. They let him go because they thought they did the right thing, and now both of those tackles will be free agents. Total busts from the 15 draft.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't doubt if that's, we get questions. Cedric Oboye, Jake, can, you know, they're just hard to get. And Spriggs is interesting because now, as we record this, Tom, we and listeners, we don't know the extent of Aaron Rodgers' groin or knee coming off Chicago. So if he can't go, a New Yorker's limited.
Close like that. Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
I don't think that groin injury was serious.
Close enough. Yeah.
Joe Philbin didn't even know about it.
Right. So well, where I was going with that was, I'm curious, what do you do with Bulaga now these last 2 weeks? Is that just, let's evaluate Jason Spriggs.
Yeah.
4 games, 4 weeks is him as the starter. You know.
Yeah, you have to.
You have to, yeah.
I think you do. I think you do. And I don't know, did anyone ask Philbin why Patrick started ahead of McCray?
I was not in with Joe Philbin. I went right to the defensive side of the ball. But it was interesting that they went with Lucas Patrick.
I don't know if McCray was hurting from last week or they just felt like Patrick was playing better.
Yeah, it's possible. I mean, McCray's, we talked about, you know, in the run-up was, you know, he didn't play well against the Bears way back in week one and frankly lost his job and never was able to get it back once he got healthy. So, yeah, I wonder if they just made that decision. And I wonder if things maybe changed with Aaron Jones, meaning, you know, maybe they thought they could run the ball or do some different things, thought Patrick was better for that. And
maybe,
you know, it. And at that point, you're into the game plan and whatnot.
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting. The last two games, you know, I asked Rodgers whether he would have a problem if Gutekunst came to him and said, look, I really need to look at DeShone Kizer and Tim Boyle or one of the two, you know, just for next year. Obviously, your job's not in danger. I just want to look at these guys. And I said, would you have a problem with that? And he said, yeah, probably. Now, he laughed. I mean, he was laughing. And he recalled in 2005, Favre told him, well, you're probably going to be playing these last couple of games. And it never came to be. So I don't know if that'll happen. I don't think Joe Philbin has... you know, what would it be? The fortitude to tell Rodgers you're not going to play. Gutekunst could order it, but then Aaron Rodgers can just go to Mark Murphy and say, isn't that part of the four silos?
Yeah, it's interesting. It's a great question, first of all, because you don't want him to suffer not just what would be a season, but an injury that wipes out his entire offseason workout and camp with a new coach and new offense. That's the concern, you know. But there's a weird locker room dynamic there, Tom. I mean, how many guys, coaches, and players have to leave Green Bay, take shots at him and his leadership, and then he's deemed too precious and valuable to not play when 53 two other guys have to.
Yeah, that would be bad.
And it wouldn't be his choice, and he could yell and scream in the locker room and cuss people up and down, but at the end of the day, that's still, you know, football's really weird with that stuff.
Yeah, that's
really
a good
is.
Point. That could really lead to some locker room issues. And next year.
Yeah.
Next year, yeah. Yeah, that's a good point. I don't know. Other areas on offense, I thought Randall Cobb was going to have a big game, and he didn't. He started out okay, and then just didn't happen for them. I think slot receiver is going to be an important position for them next year.
Yeah, I thought so too. You know, obviously we mentioned some throws the quarterback missed. Big throw that he dropped. made up for it, took a huge hit. Yeah. Ended up leaving a couple plays later with to be evaluated for a concussion. So, but you're right. You didn't see him. I thought for sure, too. I thought, especially when we talk about the scramble drill stuff, him and Rodgers seem to have that rhythm. And, for as good as the Bears' safeties have been, they're young and they take bad angles and don't tackle well all the time. So, it seemed like that might be a good combination, and it just didn't materialize.
Yeah.
MVS is really fallen too. I mean, St. Brown was the guy, and Philbin has mentioned and David Rye like the run game, so maybe they like St. Brown more as a blocker.
Mm-hmm.
But then now you're telegraphing stuff, I guess, to a degree, and Kumaro, I saw him more than MVS at least early on.
Yeah, and well, St. Brown was open on that post route. And
another missed throw.
Yeah, yeah, Rodgers took the blame for that. And then MVS would have had what was maybe the biggest play of the game if that throw.
Right.
Now, yeah, those deep balls are not an easy proposition. But like we said, it's the other throws that worry you. I was confused as to why Patton was going with Eddie Pleasant at inside linebacker and nickel.
Yeah, that was really interesting. So we're not allowed to really talk about or write what we see sometimes in practice. Now that it's out there and it's on film, whatever. We saw him kind of taking some inside linebacker tackling drills. He was with that group during the week, and it was interesting. And then early in the game, he missed a tackle on Jordan Howard on a long run. Kind of filling the Jermaine Whitehead role to a degree.
Yeah,
but again, that was about as successful as Jermaine Whitehead was in L.A.
And to remind people, Eddie Pleasant's been on the roster for, 2 weeks?
Yeah.
I don't understand why that's not Josh Jones's position.
That's a great question for Mike Pettine. Yeah,
I saw someone who was deep safety.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I don't know why.
Athletically, Josh Jones is a far superior. Mm-hmm. Eddie Pleasant's a solid pro, but that was a lot of responsibility put on him.
Mm-hmm.
He was the one who couldn't quite get to Trubisky on a free run that resulted long play. Yeah, and you wonder if there's still a trust factor there with Josh Jones in terms of knowing where he's supposed to be and when.
Yeah.
On the touchdown to Trey Burton, cover two, Josh Jones didn't seem too happy about discussing that play. Tony Brown, for his part, said he should have dropped a little deeper.
Yeah.
But, regardless, it was still a huge... the guy was clear... it was a wide open throw and,
good route, good call.
Right.
Yeah, Tony Brown's got to... He's got to take some of that away and then you rally up to the flat, But Josh Jones was not fast enough to diagnose either. So, there's still a lot of work to be done on defense. And really start talking about if they get rid of Nick Perry, if they get rid of Matthews, all of a sudden, they got to devote some picks to on defense.
Reggie Gilbert appeared to Sunday for the first time in forever, deflected ball.
Yeah,
Kyler
Fackrell
with a half sack that led to a fumble. So his first action around the quarterback since Seattle.
Yeah.
not really affecting things, but, you know, it was a fumble forced, and it, you know, didn't go the Packers' way. But you're right, it's, you know, that lack of pass rush. We've disagreed through the year, Tom, I think, on the defense's play in general. I just think Mike Pettine has been so undermanned, and he has had to do this with guys. They play hard for him. He puts them in spots to succeed. I just don't think they just are, frankly, good enough.
And I agree with you. I mean, I think Pettine's done a very, very solid job with what he's had, you know, what he's been given. They, like you said, they play hard, they pursue hard, they, you know, their tackling isn't always very good. Yeah. I sometimes question who he has on the field, but that's, you know, that's always going to be the case. I thought they should have got Tony Brown in the game earlier when Jackson was struggling, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, maybe they didn't want to hurt his confidence, but my God, some of the tackling.
Yeah, that was a struggle for Josh Jackson. You know, he's, you wrote about him this past week about the lack of interceptions and the poor tackling showed up again. And so he's, of the two rookie corners, he's tapered, if not regressed, whereas Jair Alexander has progressed. So I still think there's something there, not just in Jackson, but Brown. But you're right, I think, especially the Bears catch and run. And that was the one interesting thing, Tom, that, I will say this about the veterans for the Packers. They're pretty free with speaking about what their plan was post-game. Mm-hmm. And they frankly said they wanted Mitch Trubisky to be a quarterback. And they wanted to keep him in the pocket, make him throw and challenge him. And it was just dink and dunk and dink and dunk. And they gave Trubisky credit for that, you know, to not sort of fall into a trap of pressing.
Not turn the ball over.
Not give them opportunities to turn the ball over. And I guess where I'm going with that is maybe that was part of the plan as well, as they thought maybe Josh Jackson was still just a better cover option.
Right.
For some of those guys.
Could be. I mean, I'm sure Pettine had his reasons.
Yeah.
But, you know, when you don't have any real marquee defensive linemen, it's hard. And I give Fadal Brown some credit. I mean, the guy came in, it's his second week on the team. He had a key third down stop, and then he snuffs out the punt return, the fake punt. I talked to him after the game, and he's like, I recognized it on film, so I started yelling out, you know, it's a fake. And lo and behold, he makes the tackle, yeah. too.
Yeah,
so, Brian Gutekunst's credit for that.
Yeah, exactly. And there's another guy who's played games this year, you know, not just off the practice squad out in Oakland for, you know, not very successful as a team out there. But, yeah, you know, I think that's the thing. If anything, Tom, you know, if you're going to look at this team going forward, is Dean Lowry a great player? Tyler Lancaster a great player? No. But those are the guys you need. First of all, they're available, and you know Tyler Lancaster had seven tackles. He played really well, and he even knew it. He's like, I'm the undrafted guy who came off the practice squad. I know they were going to test me, and they did. So when you're missing your kind of two studs and Daniels and
yeah.
you know that kind of bears out over the day. But you're right, Fadal Brown, I thought was played well and. But at this point, Tom, this is where we're at with the Packers.
Yeah.
You're looking at guys who can kind of fill out your roster. Okay, you can pencil that guy in, you know, in the rotation. And maybe look elsewhere, as you said, outside linebacker, safety, etc.
I will say this. If Oakland cuts a guy, pick him up right away. You know? I mean, they have absolutely no – John Gruden has no concept of talent. I mean, gives away – Khalil Mack, you know, he's going to be close to defensive player of the year. Give away Amari Cooper, and he's all of a sudden the stud in Dallas. Give away Fadal Brown, and he's the MVP of the damn team. So,
you're right about that. It's not only did they misevaluate, I guess, the teams they were trading those guys to. Cooper at that point, probably the only one they were going to get from Dallas. But, you know, clearly they didn't think the Bears, like, he was going to make that much of an impact. They didn't know the Bears rostered well
enough.
Yeah,
they misread that one.
Right. I mean, you know.
Jeez, they would have had a top, well, it could be.
Depending on what happens.
At 11.
Yeah.
You know, so it could be a top 10 pick.
Yeah.
Oof. Not good. The last thing, Olivia asked me this in the video after the game, which is, what does this do for Joe Philbin's chances to be the head coach? And I would say that it's absolutely evaporated his chances, that he has zero chance of being the next head coach. After what they did on offense today, I think you got a clean house, don't you?
Yeah, I think, take this game, as we started this podcast, and you can layer it over the previous seven losses and the second half of that tie in Minnesota. Mm-hmm. It's the same thing. The same issues. And while on one hand you could say, well, how can the guy change, you know, well, I guess that's the point to a degree. You know, Joe Philbin isn't able to do that, didn't have the offensive answer. It's the same issues. You know, we noticed it in Atlanta. It was just, they had the things go their way, the no special teams gaffe and the defensive touchdown. Mm-hmm. This Packers team is the same thing that led to Mike McCarthy's firing.
Yeah, and this is not a knock on Joe Philbin. I mean, Joe Philbin, to get himself into the discussion, had to win some games. And he had to have the Packers beat the Bears, which is a tough, you know.
It's a tough ask.
It is. It's a huge one, which is why it would have meant so much if he did towards his candidacy. So, you know, I mean, none of us really thought that Joe Philbin, I wrote about how he could be a fallback option if, you know, they play really well down the stretch, because I don't think the field is that great for candidates. And then I also wonder how many people want to deal with Rodgers, you know, that how many offensive coaches would rather take a young guy and mold him?
That is maybe question A1, you know, the question, you know, with the search, Tom. It's a great one. Actually, some of the Bears writers were talking about this, because they had the opposite, you know, the young quarterback that they went to go find the coordinator to mold that guy.
Right.
You know, and Cleveland's going to have that advantage with Baker Mayfield and going into year two. So,
and the Jets with Darnold, probably.
Yeah, so that's, you know, this is the total opposite end of the spectrum. You know, the Hall of Famer in waiting, the MVP with $30 million against your cap.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's the complete opposite of the way a lot of the better teams in the league are being built or have been built in the last, you know, 1 to 2 years or so. Actually, since the Russell Wilson model.
Yeah.
Essentially. So, it's interesting.
Yeah, it is.
And
it
if
is.
Joe Philbin's your fallback, then that's a whole other thing, because then you whiffed on firing Mike McCarthy if you end up with Joe Philbin as the head coach of the Green Bay Packers, you know, 2019 and
right,
beyond.
Right. Yeah. I don't see how that could happen. You know, today made me feel like they have to hire an offensive coach. Maybe I'll change my mind on that, but you got to have someone who can get Rodgers back to where he was. That's the first thing. And then figure out a way to modernize their offense. Come in with something new. I wouldn't be surprised if an offensive guy is willing to keep Pettin around. You know, I would keep that good number of that staff around. I think it's a good staff, too.
Yeah, no, I mean, you know, that was, speaking of Chicago, Vic Fangio. I mean, it was Matt Nagy was hired, and within the hours, it was call Vic Fangio and make sure that staff stayed in, because they knew what they had. And I think if Mike Pettin is given some playmakers, you know, that could turn into something for the Packers.
Yeah, yeah, I think so too. So we'll have to see how that all plays out. But two more weeks, we're going to have to go through some bad football for 2 weeks, and then the fun will really begin. So I don't have much else to add, do you?
No, it was just, you know, again, after however many losses, it's just 8 losses now and a tie. I mean, it's the same story, you know, but that's what happens when you're 5-8.
Yep. All right, and if you're in Milwaukee on Monday, please come on by the Potawatomi Hotel and Casino. This will be the last show of the year for Leroy Butler and his five questions and X's and O's, and you can get some autographs, ask him anything you want, and it'll be a lot of fun. So, but this is it. We go back into the studio after that. So hopefully you can make it out there. Otherwise, thanks for joining us, and we'll see you next time.
See you next week.